Welcome again to our study of the Bible. How important it is to know God's book, to know his ways, to understand his plans for the nations of the world, and also his plans for us individually. For as we study this book and seek God and read it, you know, he quickens verses to us and gives us understanding of his plan and purposes for our life. Well, we come to now the second book in the Bible. It's called the book of Exodus. And let me give you a brief scenario so that we know where we're starting from in this book. We had previously looked at the book of Genesis, and we had found God's dealings with mankind come down to a man called Abraham and his seed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called Israel. And God, through his wondrous dealings, brings the children of Israel down into Egypt, a place prepared by Joseph, one of the sons. And there they multiply from just 70 souls that went down. They become a mighty nation. Now, God's original plan and purpose, of course, is always fulfilled. And God's original promise to Abraham was that he would give him the land of Palestine, that we call today Palestine, from the river of Egypt to the river, the great river Euphrates. But we find the children of Abraham or Israel flourishing in the land of Egypt. And yet God's plan and purpose, of course, is going to be fulfilled. And so God is going to bring the children of Israel from Egypt into the promised land. And we see that basically in several books. Exodus will show us how they came out of Egypt. Leviticus, of course, will tell us the religious life of the Israelites. And then the book of Numbers will take us through the wilderness into the land of promise, which is Palestine. Now then, we are looking at Exodus. And here we have God's revealed plan to bring the children of Israel up from Egypt into the promised land. But the children of Israel are prosperous. They're in the best of the land of Egypt, which in those days was a land full of rich pasture for all their cattle. Here they were prospering. Here they had the blessing of the pharaohs who knew Joseph. And everything was just as they wished. But God wanted them back into the land of Palestine. Well, it's like nature. You know, here you have the mother birds. They make a lovely nest for their children. And they nurture the children in that nest. But the time comes when they want them out of the nest. They want the fledglings to fly. And so they break up the nest, make it very uncomfortable, so that the little birds want to get out. Well, it's just what God did with the children of Israel. He raised up a pharaoh, a very cruel man, a pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And he looked at the children of Israel and he said to his fellow Egyptians, "Look, there's more of them than of us. They'll cast us out. So let us deal with them harshly." And he put tremendous burdens upon them. They had to build his treasure cities of Ramesses and so forth. And not content with that, he realized they were still multiplying. He gave the commandment to kill all the male children at birth. Well, midwives of Israel refused, and so they multiplied. And then, making life very hard for the Israelites started to cry unto God, God deliver us. That's exactly where God wanted them. He wanted them to be willing to leave the land of Egypt. But you know, when dealing with people, you have to have a leader. And so God raised up a leader by the name of Moses. Now, it takes a long time to train leadership. And Moses was preserved in this genocide by his mother, who hid him in a little raft. And Pharaoh's daughter came down, saw that little son, and said, it's one of the Hebrew children. And her heart was opened by God to love this little one. And she looked around, who can be a nurse to look after it? Well, Moses' eldest sister, Miriam, said, oh, I can fetch my mother. She'll look after it. And so Pharaoh's daughter paid the wages to Moses' mother to look after him. When he grew, he was then transferred to the household of Pharaoh's daughter, which was essentially the court, the royal palace of Egypt. And so we're told that Moses, for some nearly 40 years, was trained in the affairs of Egypt. He learnt all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was being prepared even for rulership in the land of Egypt by Pharaoh. But of course, God had other ideas, and God put within Moses that call that he was to be the savior of his people. The result was he goes out one day and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And Moses looked around, took the Egyptian, slew him, thinking nobody had seen and buried him. But people had seen. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting and the guilty one said, you're going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian. Moses realized that what he had done was known. And so he fled. He fled from Pharaoh's court and he went into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, he served under a man named Jethro. And Jethro had daughters, and one of them he gave to Moses as a wife. And for 40 long years, Moses, who had the call of God upon his heart, looked after his father's sheep. Well, he'd been prepared in two places, as a court official, to administrate, and now also as a sheep master, to look after the sheep. And, you know, the Word of God likens us to sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And so Moses learned, looking after the sheep, how difficult they were. He learnt endurance or patience and long suffering, tenderness, gentleness, goodness, and kindness towards these sheep, because those qualities he would need later on as he came to face the situation where he was going to be appointed by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Well, There came a day after 40 day, years in this wilderness, and here he was about 80 years of age. There was a bush that he saw there in the wilderness. It was burning but not consumed. And he said, I will go over and see what it is. And when God saw him going over to that burning bush, God spoke to him from that burning bush. He said, take off thy shoes, for the ground wherein thou standest is holy. And God spoke to Moses and said, I'm sending you to deliver my people Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Moses, of course, when he was 40 years of age, was quite confident that he would be that mighty Savior. Now, after 40 years in the wilderness, he said, what, who, me? I can't even speak. And God said, look, who made man's mouth? You see, God had formed Moses to be just what he wanted him to be. And sometimes we have impediments, but those very impediments are used by God and created by God to work out his grace and his dependency upon him. And so it was with Moses. He only spoke the words of God. He wasn't eloquent. But what God spoke to him, he spoke to the people. Well, now at the burning bush, God gives him three signs. Moses said, they won't believe me. He said, look, put in your hand into your breast. Pull it out, and it became leprous. Put it in again, it became clean. Leprosy is a type of sin. In other words, God was saying to Moses, I have given you power over sin. And then this rod in your hand, he said, throw it down. It became a serpent. Pick it up. It became a rod. A rod is a symbol of authority. Serpent, of course, is a symbol of Satan. And there God was showing Moses that he'd given him power not only over sin, but over Satan. And then he said, pour out the water. And it became blood. And blood is a symbol of judgment. He said, I've given you power to judge my people. And so Moses now is sent. He takes his wife, Zipporah, and they're off on the road to Egypt. They stop at an inn, and God seeks to kill him. And you say, well, how is it possible that God would indeed kill his servant? Well, the reason was, you see, Moses was to be the minister of circumcision, but he wasn't practicing it in his own household. He hadn't circumcised his sons. Zipporah circumcised his sons, and God's hand was stayed. Yes, you know, God can use us. We can be obedient in that area. But if we're not living the life, then we will be rejected. And God will say, well, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we've got to be very careful. Our ministry will not save us. It's a personal life that will. Well, he comes down now. He meets Aaron, shows the signs to Aaron. Aaron believes. Aaron's the type of the assistant pastor. You know, when God speaks to you, well, you communicate first to the assistant pastor. Then when he has caught the vision, you then move on. And who were the next he saw? The elders. And there, you know, there, the elders believed, and jointly they spoke to the children of Israel, and they believed. Then God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. Say, let my son get free. Well, Pharaoh was also a chosen vessel. But Pharaoh was a very wicked man. And so you have these two leaders, Moses of Israel and Pharaoh of Egypt. And these two are essential for God's plan. Pharaoh opposes and hardens his heart, said, I don't know the Lord, I will not let him go. His magicians did the same miracles as Moses, the rod. But the serpent of Moses swallowed up the other two. But Moses did these miracles before Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened. This was essential because God wanted to do mighty miracles. And so there we have the thought. Moses, a servant of God, raised up by God a prepared vessel and says to Pharaoh, let my son go, that he may worship me. Pharaoh, prepared by God, hardened heart, says, well, who is the Lord? I know him not. And so he would not let them go. This was a scenario that God needed, because now Moses was commanded to pray and bring down 10 awesome plagues upon the Egyptians. Well, plague after plague came. They hit not just the household or around the royal court. They hit the whole of the land of Egypt. And the whole of the nation was being devastated by these plagues. But what kind of plagues were they? Well, it's very interesting. You see, the Egyptians worshipped basically 9 or 10 gods. One of them was the River Nile, which was turned to blood. Then they worshipped the sun, which was turned to darkness. Then they worshipped calves of bronze or of gold, and God smote the cattle. Every god that the Egyptians worshipped, a plague devastated and broke the power of those gods. When it comes now, after the 9th plague, that God speaks to Moses and says, I'm going throughout the land to destroy the firstborn of all the children in the land. The firstborn in Pharaoh's palace, the firstborn of the maidservant in the land. Everyone. And so he said, take a lamb. Tell the children of Israel to take a lamb and slay that lamb and put the blood over the doorposts of their houses. And then when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there we have the institution of the first of the 7 feasts of the Lord that we will look at in a very real way in the book of Leviticus. But they were to slay that lamb and eat it. And the men would have to be dressed as men who were on a journey. Because here was a very important truth. This slaying of the lamb, the Passover lamb, represented a far greater lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And the Apostle Paul identifies that person, even as John the Baptist did. They identify him as the Lord Jesus Christ. And that lamb that was slain in Egypt was a type of a sacrifice that was going to be wrought out thousands of years later on the cross of Calvary. And when the avenging angel came through the land of Egypt and he saw the blood, he passed over. He passed over that house, and the firstborn was preserved. But oh, what a wail went up from all the households of Egypt at that night, as their firstborn was slain before their eyes. Pharaoh and the others hasted towards Moses and said, "Go, leave our land." And they were so insistent that even as God had spoken to Abraham about 400 years before, these Egyptians gave all their treasures to the Israelites, so intent they were on those Israelites getting out of Egypt and leaving them in peace. Well, that night the journey started. The journey started, and the children of Israel, in order, you know, like a mighty army, because God is a God of order, they marched in order from their dwelling places in the land of Zoan, the best place in Egypt. They marched out. Well, you see, God had achieved a number of things. First of all, the Israelites were willing to leave. Oh, were they willing to leave? They couldn't wait to leave. Previously, they'd been very comfortable. But now God had turned all, you know, their friends into their enemies. They wanted to get out. And then the Egyptians wanted them out too. And so here they were. And they were marching to go out of the land. Well, those of you who have been in Egypt know that there is a frontier of water, called the Red Sea. And so God led and guided the Israelites to that Red Sea, Now, to ensure that another miracle takes place, God changes the heart of Pharaoh and his valiant men. They harden their hearts and they say, "What have we done? Letting them go. They were our servants. They were looking after us. They were building our treasure cities. What have we done to let them go?" So they hardened their hearts. You see, God hardened their hearts, and they started to pursue after the children of Israel. Well, they pursued with 600 chariots, and they soon caught up. You know, the children of Israel could see the dust of this advancing army, and they cried out in terror. They arrive at the Red Sea, and Moses cries out to God, and God said, "What are you doing? Go forward. Stretch your rod over that sea." And Moses stretched forth his rod over the sea, and the sea divided. And the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. God plagued the army of Pharaoh with darkness. Light for Israel, darkness for the Egyptians. And so they crossed over on dry land. Now, when they were all over and safely on the other side, then God lifted the darkness. Pharaoh saw before him a way through the Red Sea, and he and his chariots went in. But then God said to Moses, he said, "Lift up lift up your rod over the waters. And as he did, you know, those waters that had been separated came together and absolutely drowned Pharaoh and his mighty army. The result was the children of Israel had a mighty festival. They cried out. They sang with Miriam and the women leading with their tambourines and in dance. And they said, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath fallen into the sea." And so here God was beginning to accomplish that which he wanted, bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. What is the land of Egypt to us? Because you see, the journey that we are going to look at in the book of Numbers is very significant indeed. And it will show us that this journey is not just a historical journey, but it's a journey for us from Egypt, this world, the land of death, to the land of heavenly bliss, Palestine. And so, as we study further, we shall see the purposes of God, not only for Israel, but for us too. So, let us go on, shall we, to study the marvels of this wonderful book called the Bible, revealing God's plan and purposes, you know, not only for the nation of Israel, but for us who are called the Israel of God. May the Lord richly bless you and give you understanding of the glorious truths that are hidden in this book, the Bible, God's Word.